Morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Glad we can
join together and worship our Lord on this first day of the week. I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. Craig Calvert asked me to speak, and now he's not even here. So if that's not a sign of what's about to come, then I don't know what is. Without Jesus, but more specifically, without Jesus dying on the cross, our gathering together here on the first day of the week is for nothing. Without Jesus, everything we stand for would be in vain. If it were not for Jesus and for his resurrection, as it is referenced in 1 Corinthians 15, we would still be in our sins, and we are of all people most to be pitied. However, we believe and have complete faith that Jesus died for us and that he was raised from the dead. One of the main reasons we come together on the first day of the week is to remember and proclaim the Lord's death on the cross. His death was spoken of all the way back in the beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." We have examples in the New Testament of first century Christians partaking of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. We have further instruction that we looked at earlier today in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Remembering Christ's death on the cross, I believe, is the main reason we worship together on the first day of the week. Studying, praying, singing, preaching, all of these things are good, and we should continue in doing them. But Christ is our focal point. This morning, I would like to do something a little bit out of the ordinary from a traditional three-point sermon. I would like for us to look at three songs, all centered around Christ and his suffering around the cross. I hope that we can be edified in looking more closely at these songs and sing with better understanding and more devotion each time that we sing them. I believe all of these songs are familiar to us, but I hope that we can look at them a little more closely. And we'll sing each song after the comments on them. The first song is "Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed." Verse one, the first verse and the first part of verse 2 pose questions. These questions are somewhat rhetorical. The short answer to each of the questions is yes. But the answers that need to be given are much deeper than just stating yes. They elicit and demand reflection and should provoke thought on the ones asking the questions. Our answers should be meaningful and heartfelt based on our understanding through Scripture of what Christ has done for us. The first line of this song is, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die?" Alas is an expression of grief, pity, or concern. My Savior and my Sovereign, the fact that it says my Savior and my Sovereign, it's not the Savior and the Sovereign. The "my" makes it more personal. While he is the Savior and the ruler of all, singing and saying "my Savior and my Sovereign" makes it personal, not in a selfish sense, but in the sense of I am the reason he had to suffer. He bled and he died for me. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The next line of the song, "Would he devote that sacred head," our songbook says, "for such a one as I." The original lyrics said, "Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" Devote means to dedicate, to consecrate, or to set apart something for a specific purpose. Christ is sacred and holy. He is set apart, yet he devoted himself wholly for us. And the lyrics, "for such a one as I," were originally "for such a worm as I." In Psalm 22, in verse 6, the Messianic Psalm, David is the writer of this psalm. And verse 6 says, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people." So here we have David, a man after God's own heart. He sees himself as a worm. And the psalm is also messianic, so this would be describing Jesus as well. Jesus was treated like a worm, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. If prophetically Jesus is described as a worm, how much less are we? Verse 2 of the song, "Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree." Isaiah 53. Beginning in verse 4. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In verse 11, the last half of verse 11, "And he shall bear their iniquities." Last half of verse 12, "Yet he bore the sin of many." It was because of our sins Jesus hung on the cross. He was cursed for us by hanging on that tree, as referenced in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." The next part of verse 2. "Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree." The second half of verse 2 somewhat begins the responses to the questions in the first part of the song. Christ has amazing pity for us. There are a number of times in the Gospels where Jesus has pity or mercy on those who are sick or ailing. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 and 41. "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, 'I will, be clean.'" Ultimate pity for sinners was shown on the cross. Grace unknown. We can never fully comprehend the grace that God has shown us. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." Titus 2 and verse 11. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." In John chapter 1 and verse 16. "For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." Love beyond degree. This part of the song makes me think of a verse from another song. And the lyrics of that song, or that verse, is this. "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. God's love for us through Jesus is so majestic and great, it was shown fully in Jesus sacrificing himself on the cross." Verse 3 of the song, well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in. This is a reference from Jesus on the cross, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Darkness came over all the land from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. The sixth hour would have been about noon as we count time. And I want you to think about that. When the sun is supposed to be at the highest point in the heat of the day, darkness covers the whole land while Jesus is on the cross. Why did that happen? I don't know if we can give a definitive answer, but I do know this. Jesus was rejected by his own people. He came to be their Savior, yet they rejected him. Let us not live in sin and, figuratively speaking, shut his glories in. The next part of verse 3, when Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature's sin. Christ the mighty maker, he was there when light and dark were separated. He was there when man was created. He humbled himself a little lower than the angels. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Verse 4 is not in our books, but the lyrics are this. Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears, dissolve my heart in thankfulness, and melt my eyes to tears. This is not in our books, but the lyrics help transition and bring fuller light to the final verse. We cannot hide our face from the cross, even if we may want to, but we should be thankful, but at the same time, saddened that our transgressions sent Jesus to the cross. In the last verse, but drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14. And you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Jesus paid the debt for us. He nailed it to the cross. No matter how many tears are shed, the debt we owe will never be repaid by things that we do. And the last part of the verse, here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. All we can do is give ourselves to the Lord. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We are to be living sacrifices. Having said all this, I want us to think about these words and the words of the song as we sing it. As Shay leads us, let us think and meditate on the words of this song and not just solely the music, but what Jesus has done for us.
Such a one as I.
The next song I would like for us to look at is Night with Ebon Pinion. Verse 1, Night with Ebon Pinion brooded o'er the vale. All around was silent, save the night wind's wail. What does that mean? Ebon Pinion, that kind of language is not the type of language we use often today. It means wings of darkness. The song refers back to when Christ was praying in the garden, the night before his crucifixion. Symbolically, it was a dark night. Judas was about to betray him. The rest of his disciples were about to leave him and flee. The word brooded implies a hovering or a settling, and veil is a poetic form for valley. The first line conveys to us that wings of darkness are hovering over the valley. Jesus took his disciples to a quiet place to pray. It was night. Most animals and people would be settled down for the evening and probably sleeping. The next part of the verse, when Christ, the man of sorrows, in tears and sweat as blood, prostrate in the garden, raised his voice to God. Back in Isaiah chapter 53, Christ is referenced as the man of sorrows. In Matthew chapter 26, in verse 38, then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." His soul is very sorrowful, even to death. In Luke chapter 22, verses 43 and 44. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Even though an angel was strengthening him, he was still in agony. And whether his sweat became literal drops of blood, or if his sweat was dripping like it was blood, so thick that it was like it was blood, it should move us to compassion for what Jesus was going through in the garden. Christ fell on his face in prayer to the Father, completely humbling himself. Verse 2 of the song, smitten for offenses which were not his own, he for our transgressions had to weep alone. No friend with words to comfort, nor hand to help was there, when the meek and lowly humbly bowed in prayer. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who justifies justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Jesus committed no sin. The offenses he was smitten for, they were ours. His body was broken, and his innocent blood was shed for our sake. In his hour of prayer, physically, he was alone. His disciples were with him, but they were asleep. We see in Mark chapter 14 where he comes back to them three times and sees them sleeping. No comfort was given to him by man. Verse 3 of the song, "Abba, Father, Father, if indeed it may, let this cup of anguish pass from me, I pray. Yet if it must be suffered by me, thine only Son, Abba, Father, Father, let thy will be done." The third verse of this song is a paraphrase of what Christ said to the Father when he was praying. Abba is an Aramaic word for father. It would be similar to our words, daddy or papa, but it carries a meaning of closeness and respect for fathers. I want you to picture Jesus falling on his face, pleading with the Father to let this cup pass from him. It was an agonizing time for Jesus. As we sing this song, let us remember and picture what Jesus was going through in the garden as Shay leads us. The last song that I would like for us to look at this morning is When My Love to Christ Grows Weak. Verse 1, when my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then in thought I go to thee, Garden of Gethsemane. There are times when our love for Christ won't be what it should be. Our faith may waver from time to time. What are we supposed to do when that happens? We need to go back to Jesus on the cross. Nathan Ward says in a book titled Beneath the Cross, "Do you want to see the fullness of what it means to love God wholly? Look to Jesus on the cross. Do you want to see what it really means to have faith in God? Look to Jesus on the cross. Do you want to understand better the practical application of your feelings about God? Look to Jesus on the cross. Understand Jesus on the cross, and you will understand what it means to love God. Fully grasp this, and your valleys of faith will be short. And when those valleys come, turn your attention back to the cross." Verse 2 of the song. There I walk amid the shades, while the lingering twilight fades. See that suffering, friendless one, weeping, praying, there alone. Verse 2 paints a picture of Jesus praying in the garden. He's in suffering, he's in agony, he's friendless, there with no one to comfort him. Verse 3 of the song. When my love for man grows weak, when for stronger faith I seek, hill of Calvary I go, to thy scenes of fear and woe. Just like our love for Christ sometimes grows weak, our love for man will grow weak as well. It may grow weak for man more often than it grows weak for Christ, but is there much of a difference between loving Christ and loving our brother? 1 John 4, verses 20 and 21. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. We cannot hate our brother and love God. When our love for man grows weak, our love for God grows weak as well. What are the two greatest commandments? Jesus says in Matthew 22 that it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. If we focus on these two commandments, these two things, everything else that God would have us to do will be done. What do we do when our love for man grows weak? It's the same answer as before. We look to Jesus on the cross. 1 John 3, verses 14 through 16. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. We only know love through Christ, because of Christ, because of him laying down his life for us. If it was not for his sacrifice, we would not know what love really is. Verse 4 of the song. There behold his agony, suffered on the bitter tree. See his anguish, see his faith. Love triumphant, still in death. The first part of verse 4 focuses on Jesus' pain and suffering on the cross, his agony and his anguish. While we are still living here on this earth, I don't think we will ever fully comprehend all of what Christ had to go through on the cross. The physical pain, the separation from people that he loved while he was walking here on this earth. He was rejected and condemned by a nation and a people who should have praised his name forever. In the second part of verse 4, there's a shift in focus. We see his anguish. But what do we see next? We see his faith. Jesus showed tremendous faith by carrying out God's will by going to the cross. He showed faith that the Father would carry out what was prophesied all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, that only Jesus' heel would be bruised, but Satan's head would be bruised. He showed faith that his death would not be in vain, and that the disciples would only forsake him in their moment of weakness, but not forsake him altogether. Love triumphant, still in death. Imagine what the scribes, the Pharisees, those in the Sanhedrin, and all the others who were wanting to silence Jesus felt when he breathed his last. They probably thought, victory. They had finally gotten rid of this nuisance. Jesus wasn't going to call them to the carpet, so to speak, now that he was dead. Christ's death was the furthest thing from defeat. It was an ultimate outpouring of love, a triumphant love, a love that saves our souls from utter destruction. 1 John 4, verses 8 through 10. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 5 of the song. Then to life I turn again, learning all the worth of pain, learning all the might that lies in a full self-sacrifice. We reflect on the cross and we learn so much from it. We learn what his pain was really worth. We learn what strength and might that Jesus had. And we understand that it was a full and a complete self-sacrifice. I want to end the lesson here and offer up the Lord's invitation. We will sing this song in just a moment as our invitation song. Jesus gave up his life for you and for me. He offered himself as a full self-sacrifice. We need to offer ourselves up as a full self-sacrifice. We cannot do that unless we are washed in his blood. We cannot do that unless we ourselves are crucified with Christ. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, I ask that you please come as we stand and as we sing.